Good to see you today. We appreciate that you are here. We welcome our visitors that we have. We appreciate that, we appreciate that you're with us and hope that you can come back and join us. We meet at 6 o'clock tonight and Wednesday nights at 7. You're always welcome. We appreciate your presence. Good to see some who've been traveling or back safely and others with some good health reports as well. And we're thankful for that and pray for those who are still struggling with health issues. They'll soon recover. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you today to think seriously about what your spiritual need is before the Lord. And of course, every one of us need to consider that. But if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you and urge you to see the eternal benefits of obeying the gospel of Jesus, of being saved from your past sins and becoming a child of God, that you might have a hope of heaven and to live for Jesus. And really, the study that we have this morning is designed to help every one of us ponder, meditate upon, examine ourselves to consider what the song had to say about none of self and all of thee. And the as that song takes us through that process of all of self and none of thee to none of self and all of thee. The process of self-denial. And the passage in Mark 8, also it's found in Matthew the 16th chapter and Luke the 9th chapter. Jesus speaks very clearly to this matter of denying yourself. And that's what we want to study from God's Word for a little while this morning. You know, there is there's one I occasionally go through that has a sign in the window that says, "Be true to yourself." And with a rainbow of colors, it says, "Every month is Pride Month." And, you know, we are living in this present age that self has become all important. Maybe we can make a case it's always been that way. I understand that. But the catchphrase of the woke culture of our age, of this present age, is "be true to you" or "be your authentic self." Ever heard that? Or "love yourself." Now, I know Shakespeare long ago wrote in one of his plays and had one of his characters say, telling his son, "to thine own self be true." But in this age, you know, this concept of "be true to you" centers especially upon and serves the interests of you and nobody else. Just be true to you, whoever you are, whoever you decide to be in this. So if you want to decide your gender is male today and female tomorrow and something else the third day, you just be true to you. Now, see, that's where it is leading, where we see it going now, and where it is gone with a lot of people now. Just as an aside to that, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I see a shift from when I was a young man. The message was, "I'm okay, you're okay." The situation ethics of the Norman Vincent Peale and all that is the positive. "I'm okay, you're okay, and as long as what I choose to do doesn't harm you, then that's good." That's the moral standard of the moment, of the age. But I see a shift from that. It has degenerated even farther now. So that now it's not a matter of "I'm okay, you're okay," but "I'm okay and you're not okay." That is, unless you believe the way I believe, you're not okay. That is, what I'm driving at is it seems now the attitude is a very self-absorbed, self-centered, even narcissistic view of what is and what's true. It's self-defined. Truth is no longer an objective standard. Truth is what I want truth to be. So it's not that "I'm okay, you're okay." It's that "I'm okay, and unless you're like me, you're not okay." And what's happening? People are dividing over race, dividing over politics, dividing over masks, dividing over vaccines, dividing over foolishness. foolishness. That's where we've come to in this culture. It's a shameful thing. And I tell you, we need to beware. Christians need to beware. Because we can get sucked right into the same attitude of thinking. Maybe not as overtly, but subtly. Subtly. It is exactly opposite of what Jesus teaches us is necessary if we're going to seek Him and find Him and follow Him. Matthew 16 is the parallel to Mark 8 that Connor read, that was read for us. I'm sorry. Was it Connor? I'm sorry, I can't even remember who read. Kyle. I apologize, Kyle. Yes, I'm going to start taking Prevagen. Jesus said to His disciples. He said it to His disciples. Get that. He didn't say this to the Pharisees and scribes. He said this to His disciples. If anyone desires to come after Me, that is, anyone determines. The idea is not just, I wish it. No, if you determine, you decide to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. He goes on farther in verse 25. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Now, he's not talking about your physical life. Well, he can be talking about your physical life, but more than that. Because he's going to talk about what you're going to give in exchange for your soul. We give a lot of things in exchange for our soul, our life. He says, whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. You have to die to go to heaven? You have to be a martyr to go to heaven? No, he's saying, but you have to give up something. You have to lose yourself. All of self or none of self. None of self and all of thee, as the song said. So, Jesus said in Matthew 11, another place, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Christians are aware. We are expected by our Master to wear the yoke of self-denial. And I want us to think about that in our study today. A yoke, it doesn't sound like a very pleasant thing. It's going to hurt. It's obviously a clear sign of subjection, of submission, of meniality. You're menial. You wear a yoke. You pull the ox pulls the cart. And yet Jesus said, My yoke is easy and My burden is light. But there's a yoke we've got to wear. It's a yoke of self-denial. Denying yourself. So what does that mean? Really? To deny yourself. What does it mean? To deny yourself. The word, Matthew 16, 24, that Jesus says, deny self. The word deny means to forget oneself. To lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. So let that percolate a minute. To lose sight of ourself. To forget about ourself. You see, the world says, you never, ever forget about yourself. Jesus, though, told His disciples, if you're going to come after Me, you must forget about yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow Me. Deny yourself daily, Luke 9, 23 said. Vine defines it as disregarding one's own interests. We all have interests. That is, things that accrue to our benefit. And yet, Jesus says, deny those interests to follow Him. Disregard those. It's really about saying no to ourselves if we're going to say yes to Jesus. Again, we don't lose sight of the point that He said this to His disciples, people who were listening to Him and learning from Him. That we have to remove self-indulgence, that we have to overcome stubbornness, that we have to overcome the importance of ourselves to wear a yoke of self-denial. to follow Jesus. Now, look what that means in application. It means we give our life to Jesus. That's verse 25. Whoever desires to lose his life, to save his life, will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. My life is no longer mine when I choose to follow Jesus, when I desire to come after Jesus. Now, is that really the way we think about ourselves? Honestly, do I think that I don't really belong to me anymore? I belong to Jesus. That now I have a master, that I've willingly accepted his yoke, which means now I'm going to deny myself to submit myself to him. Galatians 2 and 20. Galatians 2, 20. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, that's me and you right now, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Not faith in myself, not trusting myself, not loving myself, not being authentically myself, but authentically a servant of Jesus. Authentically living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. More on that later. That's what it means to deny ourselves, is I forget myself. I lose sight of myself because my sight is on Jesus. He is my master. It means that now we set a priority of faith and faith decisions in the relationships we have, in our family, in our life, in our comforts, in our wants and desires, in our expectations and goals. Go down the list. Luke 14, Jesus talked about counting the cost of following Him. But before He said that, He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. There's the application, Jesus, from if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself. Here's the application. You've got to love less your mother and father. When it's between your mother and father or Jesus, the choice is Jesus. When it's your children or Jesus, the choice is Jesus. When it's your brother or your sister, the choice is Jesus. When it's your own life, the choice is Jesus. When it's satisfying my desires over the will of Jesus, the choice is Jesus. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Put on the yoke, bear the cross. These are positions of utter humility, utter submission, utter removal of ourself to the will of the Master. And He said it's a light and easy yoke. Compared to the weight of sin, to the eternal death it brings. But it's about priority. Seek first. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What you'll eat, what you wear, the things that sustain you in life. But we're not really about the necessities of life, are we? I mean, I think maybe Brother Jess said something about that last week. I know he did recently. Several have. We have so much abundance. We don't really live for necessity. We live for extras. And we've made those the priority. A lot of people have. When we make not just the necessities, but then the extra, the abundant, we make that the priority. We're not coming after Jesus. We're not denying self. It's application. So we have to look very carefully at that when it comes to practical things about the use of our time, the use of our money, the things we do. It's about the application of denying self is about obeying Jesus. not ourselves. Obeying His truth, not, quote, my truth. In Romans 2 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul reminds us of this when he said, at the day of judgment, to those who are self-seeking, now there's the opposite of self-denial, to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be indignation and wrath. Self-seeking does not obey truth. So if I'm going to no longer be self-seeking, then I obey truth, not obey self. Romans 6 and verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your body that you should obey it in its lusts. So we have a choice of masters. We have a choice of what we will indulge. Self-seeking, obey the lusts of the body, of ourselves, of our interests, our desires, or forget self. To lose sight of ourself, to lose sight of our interests, disregarding them for the sake of the will of God in our lives. Came across an interesting point, an important point, I think, that in studying some of this week is that Bible passages that forbid anything require self-denial. Any verse you want to go to and it says, don't do something, forbids us from something, it demands that we deny self. Flee youthful lusts means you're going to have to deny some things. You're going to have to deny putting yourself in those situations. You're going to have to deny the flesh. See, God says don't do it. That means we're going to have to deny ourselves something. He said, put away lying in Ephesians 4:25. Well, if I put away lying, I'm going to have to deny something that lie would otherwise bring some personal advantage to. Why do people lie? Self. Boil it all down. It's about self. So if God says don't do that, we got to deny ourselves whatever that is, to be honest. Flee fornication. The obvious self-denial of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. Whenever God forbids something, we have to apply self-denial. We have to deny self. But you know, every passage that commands something of us requires self-denial. Think about this, from the other side of that coin. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Now that kind of spells out what we have to deny ourselves of, as well as what He wants us to do. He commands us to be gentle to all, or meek toward all, patient. That means we're going to have to deny ourselves the quarreling, to argue, to show you that I'm right. Quarreling. What's quarreling about anyway? It's not denying self when we fight, when we argue and fight, is it? It's just not. It's about ourself. So when God says be gentle and patient, we're going to have to deny ourselves some things to accomplish that. See, we're going to have to deny our own interest, our own satisfactions to accomplish that. Romans 12, 9 and 10. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Once more, we're commanded to love. So we have to deny hypocrisy. We have to deny evil. We have to deny honoring ourselves first. He says, give preference to one another. Love is about preferring somebody before ourselves. We can't love if we don't deny ourselves. We get that, don't we? We can't love unless we deny ourselves. We can call it love, but it's not God's love. Think about that with me. That's how we begin to apply self-denial. When God commands us, deny whatever is necessary to obey the commandments, to be what God wants us to be. When He forbids, then deny ourselves those things that would bring us into sin. Now, why do that? Just a few reasons. One is because temptation to sin is resisted by denying ourselves. This is a mechanism that we choose. We choose to deny sin by choosing to deny self. It's a way of escape. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So you can deny yourself. It is possible. God is faithful. God's given you a way of escape. With the temptation also makes the way of escape that you may be able to bear it, to endure it, hold up under it. We deny ourselves, so we escape the sin that temptation brings. We have to remember Joseph. When Potiphar's wife, with longing eyes, sought to lure him into her bed, and he repeatedly resisted. He repeatedly refused, even fleeing at great expense and cost to him. Falsely accused, he was put in prison for years before he finally got out. God was with him, but you see, he was with God. He chose to refuse the temptation. Moses, Matthew in Hebrews 11, 25 and 26. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think of the self-denial that took. to no longer be regarded as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What would that cost somebody? You know what it cost? It cost living in the palace, all of the advantages of that, all the wealth of that, all the power of that, and furthermore, he's now flees into the wilderness and for 40 years is a herdsman before God uses him the next 40 years bringing his people out of bondage. But you see, Moses denied himself. Now, why did he do that? Why did he choose rather to suffer affliction than to be in the palace? To enjoy and enjoy the passing pleasures of sin? Well, first of all, because he knew the pleasures of sin are passing. They're temporary. They don't last. They don't satisfy. Secondly, because he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Number two, he had his priorities straight. He knew where to lay up treasure. It wasn't in Egypt. It wasn't in this world. And thirdly, for he looked to the reward. He trusted the promise of God. God had made a promise through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he trusted that God had a reward that he was going to bring about. There's our three reasons. We know that sin is temporary. Its pleasures are temporary and fleeting. We know that we need to lay up treasure in heaven and not on this earth. We know God's promised a reward. So we resist temptation. We apply self-denial. We deny ourselves what otherwise would destroy, would corrupt our souls and forfeit the reward of eternal life. Well, why deny self? Because if we refuse to deny ourselves, we're foolish and worldly. Let's just be honest about it. When we refuse to deny ourselves to follow Jesus, we're being foolish. We're being worldly. We know that's the way the world acts. James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, there's the opposite of self-denial, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The peacemaker sows peace, bears the fruit of righteousness, willing to deny self, not self-seeking, you see, but estimating ourselves, not so important. Not so important. Romans 12:16. Look at that verse. Romans 12:17 or 16. He says at the end of it, do not be wise in your own opinion or in your own estimation. We got to value ourselves properly. Now you see, the world says, be true to you. You're the most valuable thing. You're the most important thing. Jesus says, whoever be first, let him be last. Right? Don't be wise in your own estimation. Now that's a choice. We decide how we're going to think about ourselves in reference to others. Whether it's our spouse, whether it's our parents, or our children, or our neighbors, or our brethren, or our co-workers, or our boss, or our employees, our those on the other side of the political spectrum, whoever it is, until we estimate ourselves lowly, as they used to say, we're not going to play well with others. Philippians 2:3-4 reminds us of the same point, doesn't it? Philippians 2:3-4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. All right, now here comes the self-denial. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So the self-denial for every one of us, let each of you, everyone, look out for the other person, everyone. Instead of, first of all, making sure we're looked out for ourselves. We deny self because we don't want to be like the world. That's the way the world thinks. That's the way the world acts. You know, think of some of the examples of that. I'm trying to put some of that into practical thinking. Whenever we think and say, well, I deserve to be first. I deserve to be heard. Isn't that kind of how first graders are? You remember back when you were in first grade and the teacher said, I want everybody to line up one after another. What was the tendency? I'm going to be first. I'm going to get in the first of the line. And so everybody tries to run to the front of the line. Either that or somebody, you know, there's always some who, they don't want to run to the front. They want to be the last. I deserve my place. I deserve. Who's most important in your life? Who's the most important person in your life right now? Right now. Who is it? Is it Jesus? Is it me? You? Is it ourselves? Someone else? Remember, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Who is the most important person in your life? When we say, I deserve to be heard, I deserve to be first, I deserve my way to be done, who's the most important person? Why should I have to share? Children ever say that? Parents? Why do I have to share? Let them get their own. Well, see, the problem is, one of the real problems is the selfish person doesn't see that they're being selfish. The little child that says, let them get their own. Why do I have to share? Has not yet grasped the concept of self-denial. Why do I have to share? 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. Is that our thinking? Why do I have to share? Why do I have to? Well, why do you have to follow Jesus? You see? Or because after all, isn't it all about me? Again, our society says it's all about me. Isn't it all about me? Be true to you. The story is told of a woman who was out strolling her baby boy one time after the Civil War, and she came upon, true story, came upon Robert E. Lee. And he went back into normal life after teaching after the war. She came upon Robert E. Lee, and she wanted General Lee to bless her child. He looked at the child, looked at the mother, and said to the mother, "Teach him, he must deny himself. Teach him, he must deny himself." Wonder how things would have been way back if that simple truth had applied to everybody. Black, white, doesn't matter. Whatever race, master, slave, whatever. Deny self. What about today? Wouldn't it be a greatly different world if we've been taught, if everyone is taught to deny himself? But Jesus is trying to teach us that. Deny ourselves. You want a blessed life? Learn to deny yourself. There's another reason to deny ourselves that Jesus gives, and that is because He wants us to serve others. He wants us to be servants. He doesn't want us to put ourselves in a master context. We are servants of each other. Look at Matthew 20. You know, James and John and their mother came to Jesus asking they'd have places of honor at His left and right hand in the kingdom. Of course, the others heard that, and they were greatly displeased. You can imagine the quarreling, and that quarreling was going on from Galilee on their way down to Jerusalem, as was seen a moment, right up to the Passover meal they ate. But in Matthew 20 and 27 and 28, Jesus said, "Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." How many of us really want to be slaves? But He said, "I'm going to be a slave, a bond servant." It's the word. I'm going to be a bond servant of Jesus, of the will of God, just as the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. We've got to deny ourselves to be servants of our husbands, of our wives, of our parents and our children, of our brethren, of our neighbor, of our enemy. It requires self-denial. I said this quarrel was going on right up to the supper where He instituted the Lord's Supper, the Passover meal, in John 13. Simple question, are we washing each other's feet? Are we, brethren, washing one another's feet? Oh, we don't have to wash feet. Oh, yes, we do. Not literally. Not the literal ceremony that some have turned that into. But Jesus very clearly said, "I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." He got up. Imagine this. They had eaten the meal, and nobody had washed their feet. No one had come to Jesus and said, "Jesus, let me wash your feet." Much less the ones I'm quarreling with over here, because, you know, John and James, James and John had the audacity to for their mother to come ask for these special places. I'm not going to wash their feet. Nobody washed anybody's feet until Jesus rose from the supper, laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. He poured the water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Get the picture. Get the context. The one who hours from now will hang on a cross for the sins of the world. Led as a sheep to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He serves those following him. So again, the question is, are we washing one another's feet? Really? Or do we pay lip service to that? It's a probing, cutting question for us. Jesus said, verse 16, most assuredly, that is, this is firmly entrenched as truth, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And remember what we said before? When God commands us to do something, it requires self-denial to do it. They need to give up estimating themselves more important and more special than their brethren and start washing one another's feet. Well, that's a lesson for all of us in the home and in the church, on the job and in the neighborhood, at the school board meeting, and everywhere else. But you see, we live in a world where people don't think that way. Does that give us the right not to think that way? Or act that way? Because we live around people who don't do that, so we have a right to be like them? No. We're to be the salt. We're to be the light of self-denial. Why deny ourselves? Because Jesus denied himself. This is the pinnacle reason, isn't it? Because Jesus did it. 1 Peter 2. We know the circumstance. Peter urges this to us. For to this you were called. We've been called to this by God. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Self-control, self-denial. Look at the self-denial. But he committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus denied himself so we could be healed at his expense. That's why we must deny ourselves, to follow his steps. Following his steps. He walked that path. He knows what that means. And he calls us to it. In Romans 15th chapter, verses 2 and 3, the apostle there writing of this concept says, let us... And verse 1, we then who are strong ought to bear the scruples, the doubts of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of you please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Jesus decided, I'm not going to please myself. I can, I could, I have the power to, but I'm not going to please myself. I'm going to benefit you. So I'll accept the reproaches. I'll suffer. I'll be mistreated. I'll be murdered so you can live. Self-denial. Jesus said, if it be possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as you will. The Father's will came first in Jesus' life. And so he denied himself. Self-denial can never be, it never will be, an attitude that says, my way or the highway. That leads to spiritual ruin. That highway leads to death eternal. My way or the highway. That leads to hell. Denying ourselves is a personal choice. We're going to have to decide. We must, every day, we decide if we're going to deny ourselves. Jesus said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's kind of the question we answer. Whether or not we deny ourselves. What are we exchanging our soul for? The self-seeker says, I won't give up anything. The self-denier says, I'll give up everything to follow Jesus, to follow His will, to let His truth direct and guide. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. That's the Lord's invitation. Going back to that passage in Luke, the 9th chapter, Luke's account, and Mark's as well, Mark 8. We can look at Mark 8 when he says there in that passage, verse 34, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Is that what you need to do this morning? It is if you want to be saved. If you want to be a Christian, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to recognize and know the way of truth is not in yourself. It's not in man who walks to direct his steps, but in God. And Jesus has shown us the way. If you'll repent of your sin, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, we'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. His blood will wash your sins away. He'll add you to His church. And then taking His yoke upon you, be a servant of the Lord and of one another in His kingdom, to His glory and His praise. If we've sinned, if there's sin keeping us, separating us from God, separating us from others, let's repent of that. Let's be restored to the Lord, to faithfulness to Him. He's promised His mercy and His forgiveness. And we urge a response to His call while we stand and sing.